Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that raises the curtain on everyday history and lets it take a bow. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're looking at the story behind Marian Anderson's iconic performance at the Lincoln Memorial. The day was April 9th, 1939. World-renowned black opera singer Marian Anderson performed on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. The open-air venue was not Anderson's first choice for her roughly 30-minute concert that Easter Sunday, but after being barred from every auditorium in town because of a race, it was either that or cancel the performance. And so, on a makeshift stage outside the Lincoln Memorial, Anderson appeared before a crowd of more than 75,000 people and delivered the performance of a lifetime. Marian Anderson was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she sang in a Baptist church choir from an early age. She was a contralto singer, the lowest female voice type and the rarest of all voice types in classical music. This gave her extraordinary range compared to other singers, allowing her to sing with a depth and power that few others could match. Her community recognized her potential and took up a collection to help pay for her classical training. Unfortunately, like many African-American singers of the early 20th century, Anderson faced racial discrimination in her own country. After graduating from high school, she applied to the Philadelphia Music Academy, but was refused admittance because she was black. She persisted nonetheless, and at the age of 23, she beat out more than 300 competitors for the chance to sing with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. Yet despite that early victory, many doors remained closed to Marian Anderson in the United States. And so, in the mid-1920s, she followed in the footsteps of other black artists of the era by traveling to Europe, where there were more opportunities to train and perform. She spent the next decade touring Europe, South America, and elsewhere, performing for sold-out crowds wherever she went. Her multilingual set lists were as broad as her vocal range, encompassing everything from operatic arias to African-American spirituals. And the emotional intensity with which she sang the songs earned her the acclaim of kings and queens, as well as her fellow musicians. Legendary Italian conductor Arturo Toscanini was especially glowing in his praise, concluding that a voice like Anderson's was heard, quote, once in 100 years. By the time she returned to the U.S. in 1935, Anderson was world famous, but there were still many places in her home country where she was denied a stage, including the nation's capital. In early 1939, Howard University invited Anderson to perform in Washington, D.C. as part of its annual concert series. But because the 42-year-old singer was such an established superstar, the university didn't think it could accommodate the large crowd that would want to see her. Instead, the school tried to book Constitution Hall, the city's largest and most prestigious auditorium. However, the venue was owned and operated by the Daughters of the American Revolution, the DAR, and they refused to let Anderson or any other black artist perform there. The public response to the DAR's refusal was swift and damning. Supporters and activists, including the newly formed Marian Anderson Citizens Committee, began to organize protests and petitions on her behalf. Local clergy wrote letters and articles condemning the DAR's position, and members of Congress called for an investigation. The most notable backlash came in late February, when First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, a member of the DAR, resigned from the organization. In a message to the head of the DAR, Mrs. Roosevelt said, quote, "I am in complete disagreement with the attitude taken in refusing Constitution Hall to a great artist. You have set an example which seems to me unfortunate, and I feel obliged to send in to you my resignation. You had an opportunity to lead in an enlightened way, and it seems to me that your organization has failed." Howard University reached out to several other local venues, but none of them would allow a black woman to perform on their stage. That forced the event's organizers to think outside the box. The First Lady's resignation hadn't changed any minds at the DAR, but it did show that Anderson had powerful allies in Washington. With that support in mind, Anderson's manager and officials at the NAACP began trying to secure a place for the concert on federal land. The idea was met with support by the First Lady and the President, and shortly after, Secretary of the Interior Harold Ickes issued a formal invitation for Anderson to perform at the Lincoln Memorial. In her autobiography, My Lord, What a Morning, Anderson reflected on her reaction to the news and to the deeper meaning the concert had taken on in light of the controversy. "I was informed of the plan for the outdoor concert," she wrote, "before the news was published. Indeed, I was asked whether I approved. I said yes, but the yes did not come easily or quickly. I don't like a lot of show, and one could not tell in advance what direction the affair would take. I studied my conscience. In principle, the idea was sound, but it could not be comfortable to me as an individual. But as I thought further, I could see that my significance as an individual was small in this affair. I had become, whether I liked it or not, a symbol representing my people. I had to appear." All the necessary arrangements were made in a matter of weeks. Sponsors were secured, a makeshift stage was erected, and recording equipment was set up so that the performance could be broadcast live on the radio. The concert was held in the early evening of Easter Sunday, and those in attendance, including the artist herself, had to bundle up to keep warm. It had been overcast and windy all day, but as Anderson walked down the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Post reported that, quote, "the sun came through to bathe the reflecting pool and bring out the radiance of the Easter finery." Secretary Harold Ickes was on hand for the occasion, and it was he who introduced Anderson to the desegregated crowd. "In this great auditorium under the sky," he said, "all of us are free. Genius, like justice, is blind. Genius draws no color lines." The singer later confessed to feeling intimidated by what was then the largest crowd she had ever faced, more than 75,000 people in person and millions more listening on the radio. But backing down wasn't an option. As she later wrote of the moment, quote, "I could not run away from this situation. If I had anything to offer, I would have to do so now." And so, with all the grace and confidence she could muster, Marian Anderson strode to the bank of microphones and began her first song, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." Take a listen.
No!
She followed up that patriotic number with an aria called O Mio Fernando from the Italian opera The Favorite. She then delivered a soulful rendition of Schubert's Ave Maria before rounding things out with three spirituals, Gospel Train, Trampin', and My Soul is Anchored in the Lord. According to the Post, Anderson, quote, sang with her eyes closed, effortlessly, and without gestures, as enchantment settled on the notables up front and on the multitude out beyond. She also sang an all-too-fitting encore, Nobody Knows the Troubles I've Seen, but it wasn't listed in the event's program or included in the radio broadcast. The Lincoln Memorial Concert became a defining moment in Anderson's long life as a performer, but it was far from her only one. The singer made her long-overdue debut at the Metropolitan Opera in 1955, and she later sang at the inaugurations of Presidents Eisenhower and Kennedy. She also took part in the 1963 March on Washington, taking the stage just after Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. The singer even corrected a long-standing injustice by eventually performing at the Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. By that point, the DAR had abolished its racist policy and apologized for its past behavior. By all accounts, Marian Anderson never held a grudge over her mistreatment. She rarely discussed the incident, and when she did, she kept her statements brief, saying only that it was unfortunate, or that, quote, you lose a lot of time hating people. The singer never became an outspoken activist, but her performance at the Lincoln Memorial helped pave the way for future civil rights battles over segregation in public places. It also showed that music could be a powerful tool for the movement, both as a way to promote solidarity among supporters and as a way to provoke outsiders into action. Modest by nature, Anderson often referred to herself as we or one. She didn't like to assert her accomplishments as uniquely hers, believing that she, like everyone else, was beholden in one way or another to those who came before us. You can find evidence of that selfless worldview in her rendition of My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Instead of singing Sweet Land of Liberty, of thee I sing, she changed the words to thee we sing. Anderson knew that she wasn't the first to sing of the promise of America or the last to be let down by it, and she knew that it wasn't her fight alone that had brought her to the stage. When asked about why she had changed the lyrics, the singer explained, quote, we cannot live alone, and the thing that made this moment possible for you and for me has been brought about by many people whom we will never know. Marian Anderson was one of those people, and if you didn't know her before, you do now. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.